Yeah, so tonight on HBO, it's a show called HBO 24/7, and it's basically a hype show for this Phil Mickelson-Tiger Woods golf match that's happening the day after Thanksgiving.
And
weirdly on pay-per-view. So on this hype train... Phil Mickelson comments on a story that Ben has shared with us before and Romo's told before, a story between Phil, Tony, and Tiger.
There have also been pairings with less at stake than others. Like the Pebble Beach Pro-Am a few years back, when Phil saw a path to getting under Tiger's skin.
His partner that week was Tony Romo. And that night, before the final round, Saturday, was a big dinner that Jim Nantz put on, and I got seated next to Tony. And we had this great night, had a lot of fun, but I knew that it would bother Tiger that I had dinner with his partner. Tony knew this would also bother him, too, so he said to his caddy, don't mention that we had dinner, that I had dinner last night, you know, with Phil. Don't even bring up the dinner. We're on the first tee. I tee off. Tiger tees off. And I wait before I walk off because I want a distance between me and Tony so I could say it loud enough. So as we're walking off the first tee, I yell, hey, Tony, that was so much fun last night. I loved the dinner. That was the greatest. And Tiger goes and looks right at him. And you see Tony say, there were a lot of people there, and it was a really big deal and a big function, and it was a random seating. Anyway, so those are a couple of little funny moments that we laugh about now, but at the time were pretty intense.
So Romo told me that that same deal that, you know, with Tiger, Phil's lefty, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So Tiger is at the range hitting balls, and there's no one else out there. I mean, there's 20 different lanes, or what is that? What do you call them? There's 20
bays,
different bays. Flats. For someone to shoot at or for someone to practice their shots on. And when Phil gets there, he goes and walks over and gets directly in front of Tiger. So he can be a lefty so they can face each other. Doesn't say anything. Just starts hitting balls right there, trying to get in his head, just messing with each other. It's just amazing, the gamesmanship between these dudes.
And yeah.
I think the hate was real.
The hate was so real. Yeah. Man. There was like talks about like encounters at the hotels, like at night. It was very Shooter McGavin and Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, they got old and people passed them by and they bonded over that, or they at least came to terms with all that.
It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna watch the thing on the day after Thanksgiving.
I think
because they're gonna be mic'd up and stuff. I do think it'd be much more fun if they still hated each other.
Can we get
now that Tiger's being friends with everyone? That kind of takes away some of the edge, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of a bit, but can we get Intercom to pay for it up here? Because we'll be doing the show.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
We're doing the show the day after Thanksgiving.
I'm sure that won't be a problem at all.
Tim, if you're listening down the hall, give me a thumbs up down out your door. I'm looking down the hall if we can go ahead and charge this to Intercom.
But I still
haven't done my expenses.
And also, I think that just kind of illuminates a little bit of why a lot of people on tour for a long time kind of thought Phil was a douche.
Yes.
Just a lot of stuff people, like that. I'm like, man, it's a little unnecessary.
A lot of people
all trying
thought,
to get by, and I get it.
Worst club douche.
But a lot of people thought Tiger was worse. I mean, it's basically a couple of douches douching it out on the douche range.
Yeah, if you're Tiger, you're full on the most dominant athlete ever, maybe.
Right.
And if you're Phil, you're Phil, who was like really good, but that's it.
But maybe that's why he knew he had to try to get in his head.
Yeah.
And did it work? I mean, is there getting in Tiger's head, or is he just a robot?
I think so. I think it did work a little bit.
I mean, because there's a lot of people that just come, I'm not talking about Phil Mickelson or whatever. There's a lot of people that come from that school of thought that just talking trash is a part of the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Trying to get in the opponent's head and talk. You probably see it in the NBA quite a bit, don't you?
Oh, it's nonstop.
And some guys do it. Some guys don't know how to do it. Some guys are really good at it. Some guys are impenetrable, and some guys are easy to get rattled.
But the problem is that with
Chad
golf,
Dukes thinks you're a douche.
The problem is with golf, it's a bunch of guys that grew up at the country club.
Right. So it's weird, yeah.
The trash talking's not that great.
They're taught etiquette and how to be proper.
Right. Oh, it looks like your fork is on the wrong side.
God. The old golf trash talk thing when you leave a putt short. Does your husband play?
Yeah, it's great. You know? Nice one, Nancy.
Hit it with your purse next time.
It's a joke because it's a female.
Now, let's stay on the Romo situation here.
Go ahead,
this is
man.
From Sunday, Romo and Nance. And Romo had a little bit of a moment where kind of had to backpedal, put his foot in his mouth. Now, here's what's happening. I'll describe the scene. Michael Dixon, the punter of the Seahawks, is punting a ball, and as he does, pins it right near the goal line, and the ball backspins.
Okay.
And Romo makes a little golf joke. Well, the golf being the Professional Golf Association, the PGA, the Seahawks are wearing PGA on their sleeve, on their jerseys, just a patch for Paul Allen.
Oh.
Their owner, who passed away recently.
Yes.
So here's this from Nance and Romo on Sunday.
Well, that's the kind of backspin you want to have. Look at
Come on back.
Look, he's got PGA on his deal. Of course, that's for
Paul Allen, the owner, great owner of the Seahawks, who recently passed away.
Oh man!
What a good teammate
that
Nance
was! A good teammate.
Oh, what a good teammate, dude! He fell on that goal line fumble and covered that bad boy up.
Can you hear? I was hanging out with Paul Allen, Luke Wilson, and I was in my underwear slamming Fireball.
Can you hear Tony take his headset off? Like,
I didn't hear that.
Listen,
did he like, oh my God, did I almost do that?
I think after he says it and Jim Nance takes it, because Tony's back pedaling.
I think
play
Nance,
the whole thing again.
I think here's what I envision in my head. I envision in my head Nance broadcasting to Tony's right, taking his left arm and slamming it across Tony's chest right quick. Like, hold up.
I think you hear Tony take his headset off. Listen.
Oh, that's the kind of backspin you want to have. Look at
Come on back.
Look, he's got PGA on his deal. Of course, that's for
Paul Allen.
Yes, he took his head off.
Great owner of the Seahawks, who recently passed away.
Yes, that is the quarterback who you throw an interception. You're like, no! As soon as you let go. And that Allen. And the guy, the DB dropped it. His teammate blocked it from being an interception. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe I almost threw that. Wait, took his headset off.
That's amazing. Good call, Kitty. I want to hear how somber Nance gets after the headset comes off.
Also focus on when Tony says on his deal.
Yeah, that's when he realizes. That's when he realizes, oh my God, what am I doing?
On his deal. Of course, that's for
Paul Allen. Owner, great owner of the Seahawks, who recently passed away.
Wow, owner, did you hear in
the great owner.
The great owner. That's what the G stands for. And did you hear off in the distance that giant trash dumpster that fell down? Listen to that.
His deal. Of course, that's for
Paul Allen. Great owner of the Seahawks, who recently passed away.
There's a cricket, too. After the trash dumpster thing, there's a cricket.
Oh, my God. Oh
Tony takes off his headset and leaves Nance to eulogize Paul Allen.
The owner. The great owner.
Do you think he ripped his headset off like, oh, my God?
I think as we listen to Nance at the end, I think Romo has his head in both of his hands.
Yeah.
Just doing oh, my God, that could have been a disaster.
Maybe he didn't take his headset off. Maybe he put his head in his hands and his hands were bumping microphone.
What have I done?
Oh, my God. Thank
now,
you.
It reminded me of something that happened about 4 years ago in this station regarding Mike Bassick, and we'll play it for you now.
Oh, my God.
By the way, How's your sister doing?
Sarah or Katie?
I only knew Katie.
Yeah, Katie's doing good. Married. She had brain cancer in her brain, but
what?
She did. But it's not coming back.
So God, how good. Did I? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bring the room down. I had not. Good Lord.
But she did.
I'm glad she rebounded there. That was going to be a really negative segment by accident.
Hey, Skip, my grandma's dead. You want to talk about her?
How's your grandma?
She's not here anymore.
All right, if anybody has a family member that's not doing well, let me ask about them. Send us a text at the Autoflex Leasing Fantech. 437-33. I'll put my damn foot in my damn mouth.
Brain cancer in her brain's kind of funny, though.
That is the most basic thing ever said.
Yeah, brain cancer in her brain.
Okay. Now we'll stay on the death footnote as we segue. Stan Lee died yesterday, guys, at the age of 95. And Mike Francesa is taking calls, of course, and he goes to a guy who wants to talk a little Stan Lee with Francesa. And listen to this touching tribute from Mike.
Eddie in Hoboken, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee.
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is. Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is he?
Jesus.
Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not a comic book guy. Is that who he is, Stan Lee?
The guy created Spider-Man. That was his
big created thing. Spider-Man? Sorry. I never was a comic book reader as a kid. I apologize. Never.
Oh, my God. Man, there
who is Stan Lee?
If you just, I would be interested in pulling a bunch of audio of Francesa and also Rosie O'Donnell and trying to see if we can tell the difference between those two people.
And oh, yeah.
That's a good idea. Unquote.
And lastly, the weekly Mike Leach. Mike Leach at his press conference discussing time of possession.
So often those people that value time of possession, you know, they just sit, you know, they just sit behind the center and pretend they're going to tickle his ass, and maybe they are and maybe they're not, and just wait for the clock to tick by, you see. And then, but that's nothing really football-wise. I mean, you're just pretending you're a smart football coach if you're doing that. I mean, because if what you're doing in practice has any value whatsoever, you'd probably be a little more focused on executing plays or, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, sitting there dramatically looking around in space and going towards the center and away from the center and pretending that somehow, you know, you've revolutionized something smart. No, to me, it's entirely idiotic.
He never fails to deliver the goods.
Man.
He's so awesome.
Tickling the butt. We need to have him back on the show.
Yeah.
We do, man.
Why? We've got his number. Why don't we have him on more often? It seems like he's always down to do it.
I think he is, actually, pretty much. He likes to talk.
God, I hope they win this weekend. Let's get him on.
Now, the problem is always coordinating with him, because he'll tell you a time and he won't actually be on time.
That's actually Kalishaw audio there, Shippy.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.